is it two split sermons, or is it one sermon that is split into two? Something to think about. I'm only giving one half of one sermon, so I think that's how it goes. Good to see you all. Happy Sabbath. Welcome to everybody out there on the webcast. You've all probably heard a phrase, safety first, right? Safety first. We see it printed on signs around workplaces and on logos. Safety first is well known. There's a guy named Mike Rowe. Anybody here ever heard of Mike Rowe? A couple people. He's the host of a show called The Dirty Jobs. He coined a phrase not too long ago, safety third. And it's mostly to get people's attention, but the idea behind safety third is that you shouldn't expect someone else to be the guardian of your safety. You should do that yourself. He tells a story of being on a crab boat. I think it was 100 miles off the coast, out in the Bering Sea. Very dangerous job, and he was out there with those guys as they were working. And he noticed the waves are crashing over the boat. The whole boat is turning up sideways, and people could have fallen off, and that would have been the last you ever saw him. And he went up to the captain, and he said OSHA, and the captain said ocean. He pointed at the ocean, and Mike said, "Where's the safety gear?" And the captain said to Mike, "I'm the captain of a crab boat." He said, "It's not my job to bring these guys home safe. It's my job to bring these guys home rich." And that's when it hit him, and he came up with this thing. The whole reason he came up with that slogan is just that it's not that safety isn't important, it's that it is important, and it's that we are responsible for our own decisions when it comes to our own personal safety. We shouldn't trade in our good judgment for a company policy or a manual. We should never assume that our safety is the number one goal of any other person or any company or any government. Those policies that are written in the manuals don't actually keep anyone safe. You know, that book, whenever you go to do the dangerous thing, that book isn't coming to stop you. It's only how much we follow those rules, and it's those people that are yielding themselves, making those safe decisions that keeps the workplace safe. So just like we are ultimately responsible for our own physical safety, we are also personally responsible for the choices that we make regarding our eternal spiritual safety. The title of today's message is, According to Your Works. According to Your Works. When we get to the end of this life, brethren, I'm not sure if any excuse will suffice if we haven't chosen God's way. Now, this is something that's been offered to us, and our eyes have been opened, but then we have to follow, and we have to make that choice to do so. And any excuse like, but my teachers said, or but my parents said, or my spouse said, or my children said, that only goes so far. Eventually, it becomes our choice. What was our choice? What is our choice? Revelation 2 and verse 23, I'll just mention Revelation 2 and verse 23. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart and will give to each of you according to your works. And then turn with me, if you will, to Romans 2. Romans 2. Romans 2 and verse 6. Speaking of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance and good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works for what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. We will be held accountable, brethren, for the choices that we have made, both good and bad. Held accountable, those words seem to have a negative connotation, being held accountable. But notice in Romans 4:22, I was just there and I turned from it. Will also be, those good works will be accounted to us for righteousness. Romans 4, speaking of Abraham, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And we'll also be held accountable, or we'll have to give an account for the bad choices that we've made. Romans 14 and verse 11. Pretty close if you want to cruise over there. Romans 14:11. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop judging one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. There's this interesting phrase, especially in the Old King James, from Genesis to Revelation, before rendering judgment, God repeats this phrase, "Because thou hast." Because thou hast. And then a judgment is rendered on a person because that person was acting of his own volition and therefore responsible for the action. "Thou hast" is an interesting study. God didn't predetermine before all time and creation that thou hast. Satan didn't make thou hast. It's not Adam's fault that thou hast. The guy going slow in the fast lane didn't make me hast. Thou hast because thou hast. And God holds us all responsible because of that. We can turn to Genesis 3 and verse 17. Genesis 3 and verse 17. "And unto Adam," well, I'll read in the King James, but this same phrase, "because thou hast," is there in the King James. I'm reading in the New King James, I believe. "To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife," because thou hast listened to your wife, "and ate fruit from the tree which I had commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life." In Genesis 22, the Lord called, in Genesis 22 and verse 15 through 18, the Lord called to Abraham, and he said, "Because thou hast." He said, "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore." In Revelation 2, we see this. We see this several times in Revelation. Once in Revelation 2, 1 through 4, "unto the angel of the church of Ephesus," right? "Because thou hast." And then "unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia," right? "Because thou hast." And then the letter goes on to tell that church what they have done. Brethren, I'd like to ask a question today. What hast thou been doing lately? You know, it's really easy to start blaming and pointing at other people when we get caught doing something we shouldn't have been doing. We just read about Adam. Adam tried to play the blame game, but it didn't work. We don't get to blame our wives for our choices. Adam tried to blame Eve. Eve tried to blame the snake, all of which fairly understandable. The snake did deceive her, right? And then she did lead her husband to eat it. But neither of those things would have happened if Adam and Eve hadn't abdicated the role that God had given them to make that choice themselves. It's interesting, too, because Adam trusted Eve over God's command. Eve trusted the snake over God's command. And if you look at those curses that were doled out, each one according to his works, Adam blamed Eve, then Eve blamed the snake, and then God started handing out the curses. And if you notice, he started with the snake. They passed the buck all the way down to the snake, and God started with the snake and said, because of this, you'll be cursed. You'll crawl on the ground on your belly. But then it didn't stop there. Then he went back to the woman, and then the man, and the curse was for everybody. Abraham was our father. In John 8, there's a phrase, Abraham was our father. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is John 8 and verse 32. Now verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say unto you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me. He goes on to tell them that their father is the devil. That's who they're acting like. He keeps bringing the conversation back to their works. The Pharisees don't get to ride in on the coattails of their father. So we don't get to blame our bad decisions on other people, and we don't get to ride in on someone else's good decisions. You know, parents also fall into this category. We don't get to blame our parents. The sins of the father are passed down to the third and fourth generation, and these things can be hard to overcome. Many, if not every one of us, are dealing with these things in our own lives and try not to let that cycle continue, you know? Will we be those parents that break that cycle? There's a book I read recently by Dennis Prager called Happiness is a Serious Problem. Something he said in that book really, really struck me. He said, of course your parents affect you, but at some point you have to affect you. When we're children, our parents are responsible for our safety. They make those choices for us. But as we grow and become adults, no matter which way they've led us, at some point the choice becomes ours and ours alone. No matter what parents have done, good or bad, the blame game is lame. It doesn't stand. It doesn't hold up. It didn't work for Adam. It didn't work for Eve. It didn't work for the Pharisees, and it won't work for us either. You know, as I read through Scripture, there are several stories where things seem unfair. Outcomes seem unfair. There are tricksters in Scripture. There are times when people are swindled into certain commitments, and it wasn't fair when Satan tricked Eve or when Eve enticed Adam. It wasn't fair when the old prophet lied to the man of God in 1 Kings 13. And the man of God was then killed by a lion. But if we read these stories, there's one thing we can learn from all these stories. It's that just like we as adults are responsible for our own safety, we are responsible for our own decisions, no matter who is lying to us. We are the guardians against our own deceit. And we need to be on guard now more than ever. Matthew 24 and verse 24. Matthew 24, 24. This is, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Brethren, it's not going to be fair when the beast and the false prophet come on the scene. Things won't be fair. Things will be tricky. It's not going to be fair when they deceive and persuade people with false signs and wonders. And God allows that. He said He's going to allow that. It's not going to be fair when we're carried in front of kings on trumped up charges, or mocked and ridiculed, or when we're slandered or persecuted. Things are said about us that are not true. It's not fair. But it also wasn't fair for Christ to be beaten and killed for our sins. He did that for us. When He was on the earth, He reminded us of our personal responsibility. Just like He told the Pharisees, He brought it back to their works and what they had been doing themselves, not their forefathers. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 5.1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 is an interesting list here. You can start in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This list, brethren, is an interesting list. In verse 21, test all things and hold fast to what is good. Who is this for? Who is this verse for? Is it for all generations? Is it only for our children? Is it only for our parents? I'm asking rhetorically, you know, is there any personal responsibility in these verses for us? I would submit that all of these verses are what separate the believers from the non-believers. We are responsible for what we believe. We are responsible to test all things and to hold fast to what is good. We can't say, well, Abraham was our father. Philippians 2, verse 12, tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let this mind, Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then we're told how to do it. Philippians 2 and verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without faults, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Brethren, we're told here to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. This doesn't mean that we have to do it alone. We have brothers and sisters here. In fact, we're encouraged to help one another in Scripture and to lift one another up, not to put a stumbling block in front of one another. We're encouraged to sharpen the countenance of our friends and brethren. But in this time of lawsuits and finger-pointing, when personal responsibility is often traded for excuses and signed away in waivers, it's replaced with company policies and such. Let's not be fooled. When it comes to our eternal life, we've been given a choice to make regarding God's Word. We have choices every day as to whose works we will do. When Christ returns, I don't think he'll be speaking in the old James English. I don't think so. But whatever language he's speaking, he may say something like he said to the churches in Revelation, because you've done this, I'll give you that, to each according to your works. Our spiritual safety should not be thought of as a task that someone else is handling. Oh, there's a policy for that. It's covered. I'm in the right building. But we will be held accountable for the choices that we make regarding that. Not those of our parents or our children, but ours. The good accounted to us for righteousness, and for the bad, we will have to give an account. We can lay the blame anywhere we want. We can play that game. And those people may be at fault to some degree, but so are we. Time and time again in Scripture, we see that even when people are tricked and swindled into a deal, if they said yes and shook on that deal and they agreed, they were expected to keep the terms of that agreement. And lastly, brethren, I would encourage you that we should continue to test all things and to hold fast to that which is good until the day we die, because we are responsible for our own works. We aren't responsible for salvation, that is a gift, but we are responsible for our own works and our own choices in regards to that. So I would encourage you to choose life and to take that responsibility seriously, that you would recognize that it is yours. And that we will be judged according to our works.